Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noom Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noom Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noom hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything, because anything can happen after noon.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown.
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
It's Phil Elson here. Matt Jones, C-Unit, is producing Halftime on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com. Gray, cloudy skies across the Arkansas landscape. Little drizzle for pretty much the entire day. And a lot of basketball coming up. And if any indication from yesterday, we should have some programs that have some thinking to do once you get to tomorrow. Talk a lot about the teams that lose, it seems. Not like you're talking only about the teams that lose. It's just those are the ones that, by this point, need to rethink things a little bit. It sounds like that's what Kentucky may be thinking about doing, or at least Cal's thinking about doing. We'll see if the administration's going to be doing anything different.
Wow. All I can say is wow. I did say that Kentucky would have to score over 80 points to win every single game that they're going to win in this tournament, and they couldn't get to 80 on that first one. What a story, man. How cool. I mean, that's one of the reasons everybody loves this tournament.
Well, in full disclosure, I wasn't able to watch a minute of Kentucky and Oakland, or really any of the nighttime games, until I made it back into Fayetteville right about the time that Kansas and Samford was getting really interesting, and then started to pull away. I watched North Carolina State start to get away from Texas Tech, and then flipped over to Samford, Kansas, until I just couldn't take it anymore, and I just fell asleep. What are you showing me here?
I had Samford.
I had
that was one of my upsets. But homie's light was fluorescent green. That man, as soon as he got wherever he wanted to, and I would say you wouldn't call that a chucker, would you? You know, as your Seinfeld reference, you know, he was actually, I mean, 10 of 20 a game action, and everybody knows that you're getting the ball and you're gonna shoot a three. It's pretty solid.
He'd go to the same school that Tesla went to. Division II Hillsdale College.
Yeah, he was in D2 last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. went to the same school. I don't know if that's exactly where he was before here, before Oakland. I remember the first time I thought of Oakland University. I was like, wait a minute. The University of Pittsburgh is in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh. I can't believe that they actually have a second one there. Oh, no, it's in Oakland, California? No, not even that. Right there in Detroit.
Yeah, it's, what, 2 hours from the border?
Oakland
from Canada up there? It's so there was an assistant coach that was Coach Darren Sorensen, who was at Arkansas when I was here, and he went up there and worked for this coach. So I met him. I went up there and hung out for about 3 or 4 days. You know, when I was in my 20s. So that was pretty cool. He hadn't changed much. 40 years at one institution.
Right. That's what I was looking up. I don't remember the gentleman's name because, again, I wasn't able to watch the game last night. But that's 40 years. You're right. The gentleman's name is Greg Campy. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, and I will apologize for that. He's been there. I mean, he was there when they just created themselves, you know, an opportunity to go to Division One.
Yeah,
that's the story you talk about, I guess. You know, there's the other side of the program-shaking loss for Kentucky that maybe you're starting to get used to here in early March. 1-4 in their last 5 NCAA tournament games with this collection of talent, too. Is it really a matter of, like, men versus boys, which is, when you read the articles about the game, that's what it's made to be?
It's like C-Movie's going to find out. It's a fine line between clever and stupid. And I think Coach Cal he's on that line where it's a fine line where do I go get the freshman kid that's a five-star guy that's got NBA talent that's going to be good? Do I get – how many of those do we get? Or do I have to go get a fifth-year senior who's maybe bounced around two different places and it's seen a lot – to me, these point guards, these guys that you're seeing, the kid from Oregon that went off, the fifth-year – they've seen – they're Bo Nix. They're Sam Hartman. They've seen so much. It doesn't matter. They've been a part of it. Then you're taking a kid that was just playing AAU ball that has talent. He just hasn't watched film. He doesn't know how to go about it. I mean, there's just a lot of learning that he has to do as far as to be a real basketball player instead of just, because when you're in high school, Phil, and you're a five-star, you're the best athlete on the floor.
Teamwork doesn't matter as much.
You just out there, roll the ball out there. That's what, exactly. And Coach Cal, for whatever reason at Kentucky, they've gone away from playing defense. You have to play defense, especially in this tournament.
It's an interesting way to look at it. You know, by the time that the Oakland players have been around, even though they may have been pulled together from various spots because of the transfer portal and this kid who hit the 10-3s, it's his only year there. But they've been around long enough to know how to blend into the context of a team, which is really what defense is all about. Athleticism is so much a part of it, too. But this word that gets thrown out all the time, connectivity, which is all about teamwork and the ability to take your coaching and see where you fit into a defense and move the right place at the right time.
You just nailed it. It's about taking coaching, being a sponge, and learning. And the kid that went 10 for 20 even said it. He knows he's not an NBA player, and this is it for them. They know this is it. The kids at Kentucky, they're going to go play. Some of those kids are going to go play in the NBA. I'm not saying it doesn't mean a lot to these kids, but when it's your end, when it's the last ride, you know that you're scrapping. You got your back against the wall. And I think it just means more to some of those kids.
Jack Golke is his name.
Jack.
He was at Hillsdale. I mean, he got to Hillsdale College in 2018. He redshirted at Division II for a year.
2018. That's another thing, Phil. That's almost, I mean, what is that? What are we, 2024 right now? I mean, that's 6 years ago.
I need to
ago.
Think about it to myself.
Wow. I mean, so these kids were in eighth grade at Kentucky. You know, the freshmen that were out. That's what I mean. The kids are going to be fine and be good, but you're taking a guy that's been through just how many college off seasons, seen so much film, see so many games. There was a stat. There was this one Oakland kid who set the record. I think it was his 140th game at Oakland. You know, it's unreal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that's obviously the biggest thing that happened yesterday in the tournament.
You have where bracket? How where'd y'all have Kentucky going to?
I brought it up yesterday. I had them losing to UConn in the title game.
Nice.
It's not Kool-Aid or anything. I guess I was eating the blueberry. I ate the blueberry. I bought into the athleticism. I bought into the idea that, you know, even a team like Virginia, back when they were one of the better teams in the country, can follow a first round exit as the number one seed with a national championship the next year.
Which Arizona's trying to do this year. They got beaten the first round last year, trying to do that this year.
But I mean, I didn't scout Oakland. I didn't look ahead and be like, oh, look at all this group of grizzled men who, you know, should be working office jobs right now. I didn't realize. Did anybody? I mean, so I'm sure Kentucky fans might have looked ahead and thought, you know what, this is men versus boys. Maybe we should be nervous. But then they also had to buy into the athleticism too and the ability to outscore a team, right? Like you should expect. So maybe Kentucky can't defend very well, but you should be able to outscore a team in the first round. And they just didn't shoot well.
Oakland did such a good job with floor spacing, creating space, getting open shots. That was the other thing, Phil. Some of those shots were contested, but then they really started eyeing in on them and their other guys. I believe they had a kid number two who was a big, who had 38 in their conference championship game. Man, he was tough. The other thing was they weren't scared. You remember the whole Tiger Woods thing when guys would get in his group and then they would shoot three shots over what
an intimidation factor.
I think that's gone with Kentucky and Coach Cal. Where a decade ago, I think Kentucky's coming into town. You're a little nervous. Is Kentucky? I don't think people fear Kentucky like they used to.
Can we stop rushing the court when you beat them now? Is that okay now?
Hey, we're there's a point in time to rush the court.
Is there going to be a point where you stop rushing the field if you beat Alabama?
We'll have to wait till 2027.
Heck, who knows the next time Arkansas plays Alabama on the football field? So what is this next? So now, I mean, you get it. We already know there. What do you got to be in order to be a Cinderella seed? Double digit. You got to be at least a 12 seed to be a Cinderella.
I think you have to be a six or. Or higher. I think a six starts, maybe seven even. Six starts it because, I mean, six, if you're a 60, what are you? You're six times four is 24. So, yeah, you might be right. Maybe seven.
Hey, look, the Oakland-North Carolina State game, if you add the seeds together, it's old enough to rent a car. 25, that's 11 and 14.
Did you see Big
Cinderella game.
Do you see big homie North Carolina State going out there looking like Vince Wilfork out there?
The guy they gave ice cream to in the post-game interview?
He really does lull you to sleep. He's got a little quickness to him.
Is that big baby?
Oh, that's super large baby. But he has a little game. Like he's actually, that's the first time I've seen the kid play. He has vision. He can pass the ball a little
DJ
bit.
DJ
Burns, Mr. Burns.
I mean, it looks like somebody that might be able to run the rock for you if you needed to a little bit. 6'9", 260. You see him on the goal line. Got a little shake.
I see him playing a three technique, maybe a tight end. But yeah, he looks like a, you know what, honestly, Phil, 100%. If you're an NFL team, you talk to the kid because of his size.
That's one of those guys, right?
Because his size and his athletic ability. I think of Jason Peters. You put him at left tackle. His footwork. You got to have feet to play in the NFL and to play offensive line, right? Especially the tackle positions. That kid's footwork right there. If I'm an NFL scout, I just want to get a hold of him and just gauge his interest to see if he even wants it, to see if he wants any part of that lifestyle. Because if he does, he could play on Sundays.
He's a senior. I mean, the kid's in his sixth year of college basketball. Started at Tennessee.
Again, when Kentucky guys were seventh graders. Yeah, when Coach Cal's, his teams were at eighth graders, this kid was starting college.
So he's already a grown man. He's already beloved by an entire group. What's not to say this is not a kid that's coming to NFL defensive sidelines at some point in the next
year. Hey, a right tackle, left tackle. You just want to see if he's a big softy, you know, if he's just kind of some of these basketball players are you take the high school football team and play the high school basketball team. The high school football team beats the high school basketball team for the most part because they're soft. They're a little finesse. So
he looked like he had a little softness. A little bit.
He's probably a mama's boy. Nothing wrong with being a mama's boy. I think all three of us in here are mama's boys.
Well, he's got that big smile that's sort of infectious too.
But if you're going to be an offensive lineman, you got to kind of be nasty.
You got to be a little hateful.
You got to be mean. You got to like hurting it just a little bit. So I don't know. That's what you got to ask him and see if he has any of that in.
All right, well, we got tip-off coming up soon. What's our first game that's on the schedule today? What's first? Let me see what I got on my schedule here. We got Northwestern and Florida Atlantic in a 9-8 game.
Whoa, the Owls.
In 2 minutes. Yep, the Wildcat, the one of the 18 different Wildcats in Division I basketball, and one of only two Owls that I'm aware of, Rice being the other.
Can't soar with the Eagles if you stay out all night with the Owls.
Got a busy Friday for you on halftime, which includes Neil Adkinson from Bet Sarazen in hour number three. Talking Arkansas baseball with James Teague from the Teague Law Firm in hour number two.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Eastside Liquor in Fort Smith has St. Patrick's Day specials going on right now. Shanky's Whip for $27.99, Proper 12 Apple for $29.99, Single Malt for $38.99, Blended for $28.99, Jameson Orange 750 milliliters for $25.99, and for 1.75 liters, $52.99. Redbreast Cask Strength for a new low price of $99.99. In Irish Creams, St. Brendan's 750 milliliters for $14.99, 1.75 liters for $27.99, and a new salted caramel for $14.99. Carolyn's Peanut Butter for $17.99, Bailey's Vanilla Mint Shake for $29.99, and a new flavor, chocolate, $29.99, and Five Farms for $29.99. Now, back to the podcast.
All guests join halftime on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. We have Aaron Torres there right now. Aaron Torres Sports Media, Aaron Torres Sports Podcast, Fox Sports Radio. And it is, man, AT, we got you on at the right time after Kentucky loses yesterday. I'm sure we spoke to you the day after Kentucky lost to St. Peter's a few years ago. So I'm not sure which one, I'm not sure which one shocked you more.
So first of all, I knew I couldn't miss today's show because you're exactly right, is that this is becoming an annual tradition of Torres coming on after an NCAA tournament meltdown for Kentucky. You know, I don't know which one's more shocking. I do know which one is more inexcusable, though, and it's last night. And it's really two things. Is one, everybody knew what was at stake last night after St. Peter's, after not getting out of the opening round of the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament last year. But also because I just thought, and you guys can tell me if you agree, I just thought there was a complete lack of preparation and a complete lack of urgency from Kentucky. And one with the preparation, I was just talking to somebody, you know, this morning who knows Greg Campy, and it's like they play that zone. And it felt like Kentucky did not know that a zone was coming. But two, if you watch the game, I was texting buddies during the, you know, first 5 minutes, it's just like, every loose ball is going to Oakland. Every defensive rebound is going to Oakland. I'm sitting there saying, does Kentucky know this is an NCAA tournament game? Like, this isn't, you know, December against Louisiana Monroe here. Like, what are we doing? doing? And so it's just, it's bad. It's really bad. It's really bad. I know we're going to break it down from a lot of different angles. I did not think going into last night there was any circumstance where John Calipari was not the coach next year at Kentucky. I don't know that I feel the same way right now, 12 hours later.
What's the situation with the buyout there? Is that what would be in the way here? Just a dollar figure, or is there more?
So, no, I mean, listen, he has a $33 million buyout. And obviously, I think, you know, listen, I don't know exactly how the contract is structured. As we learned with Jimbo Fisher, you know, rarely is it a lump sum. You got to write a check today. With Jimbo, you know, I think he was getting paid out over 10 years or something crazy like that. So there's that. But what I'll say, guys, and this is where I think it's different, is I still think, as weird as it sounds, there was a large percentage of Kentucky fans that still believed in Cal, that still wanted to believe the magic could be rekindled. And I think the loudest people are the ones that say he's washed up, it's over, da da da, this and that. But I think there were more people than you would think that wanted to see this guy right the ship, that wanted to see this guy end his career in style, and the way that, frankly, a Hall of Fame coach should end his career, you know? And so I bring it up because I think he lost basically all those people last night because, okay, St. Peter's is a one-off thing. Last year, weird game. Antonio Reeves, people forget, went like 1-for-15 from the field. Kansas State was a good team. Well, now, I mean, I'm not a Kentucky basketball historian. I'm pretty sure we're talking about the two worst tournament losses in the history of the program over a three-year stretch. I think I saw this stat. It's the only the second time since the tournament expanded that Kentucky didn't make out of the weekend, first weekend for four straight years. And the only time it happened before was the direct four-year period before John Calipari was hired between Tubby Smith and Billy Gillespie. And so I just think, and I think the last thing is, what is the fix? They've changed the coaching staff. They've changed the style of play. They went transfer heavy. Then they went back to freshman heavy, and it's the same result. So people say he's too stubborn, guys, and it's a situation I hope we're all in position of. You have so much money that you can never spend it. But, I mean, people say, oh, he's too stubborn. He's going to want the $33 million. Do you want the $33 million if everybody hates your guts and nobody believes in you and nobody wants the job? I don't know, and I do think it's that we're at that point right now with Kentucky basketball.
Hey, Aaron, who, yeah, that was, man, that was fun watching, Jack. I mean, that dude, 10 of 20 just had a fluorescent green light, seemed like all night. Who impressed you the most day one? And then what game are you looking forward to most, the most today?
Who impressed me most day one? You know, I thought Kansas's resiliency, I saw a stat. Samford was the most bet team yesterday. And they covered the spread, but you know, I think I'll be honest, I kind of felt like Bill Self kind of was mailing in the season. Like, you know, he had some comment about a month ago where he said, you know, we're not going to win the Big 12, but it's not the same because it's not a true round robin, so it doesn't matter. You know, they kind of laid down in the conference tournament against Cincinnati. So I was kind of impressed that I know it's Kansas, you shouldn't quit, but I was kind of impressed that they showed up. You know, I thought Gonzaga, I picked Gonzaga, I actually personally like Will Wade, but I think that I thought that that was a bad matchup for McNeese, but for Gonzaga to handle things the way that they did, it was very impressive. And then I think, look, Tennessee coming out and bouncing back off that SEC tournament. Now, problem with Tennessee is it obviously gets much tougher with Texas, in the next game, but I would say, as weird as it sounds, just cause I really kind of thought that Kansas had kind of quit on the season, for them to come out and they were basically in control for probably about 33, 34 of those minutes before obviously Samford mounted that comeback. I would say those are kind of the teams that stood out.
Wasn't a very good day for the SEC yesterday, and I wonder, you know, what can happen today. I don't believe in A&M against Nebraska. I just don't believe in A&M overall. But what about Alabama and Auburn? Again, you never the committee knows what they're doing when they do some of this, because although they wouldn't have to play each other, both fan bases have to spend the same amount of time together in Spokane.
Sure.
Alabama's got to be in a little bit of danger here. They just had such a weak finish to the season. and playing against Charleston. Auburn, Yale, I know that's also been a pretty sexy upset pick. Which one of these two teams do you think is most in jeopardy today?
Maybe I'm missing something on Yale, but Auburn is playing such good basketball right now. I do think Alabama's in jeopardy. Let me say something, you know, Phil, though. You know, you said it's a tough day for the SEC. I mean, Oregon was a one-point underdog against South Carolina, and that was a team that I saw some South Carolina people getting mad, and it's like, if you went through the recruiting rankings, my guess would be of the five highest-rated recruits on that floor, probably four of them were playing for Oregon. It's like, Oregon isn't any, you know, poverty program. It's just that, you know, they won the conference tournament. They wouldn't have gotten in otherwise. As a matter of fact, all those 11 seeds, including Duquesne, who pulled an upset, they were all conference champions in multi-bid leagues, and so, you know, I thought that was just a bad matchup for South Carolina. I actually picked Oregon. You know, Mississippi State I didn't see coming, but that was an 8-9 game. So really we're talking about just Kentucky choking. But I do think, to your point, Phil, I think the matchup today is tough for Alabama. I mean, Charleston can put the ball in the basket. Alabama kind of hopes that you can't, because they can't stop you from putting the ball in the basket. So I definitely think that's one to keep an eye on. You know, I think Florida's in an interesting spot. You know, the kid that got hurt in the SEC championship game, I don't think he's as big of a piece as maybe, you know, like if you have to lose a guy, he's not the worst one to lose. He starts, but he doesn't play a ton of minutes. But it's more the psychology. It just felt like that injury took the air out of them. And so I'll be blunt, Phil. You know, I'm not rooting against the SEC. It doesn't really matter to me one way or the other. But I'm with you. Is I don't love the matchups for those teams today. I think, again, Auburn's probably the one that I feel most confident about. But I think there could be, you know, more carnage for what was otherwise a very good league this year.
Aaron, I'm with you. I had Oregon over South Carolina. That Dante guy, their center, I thought he would have been, yep, you know, a top four center in the SEC. And just no athletically with that team. Hey, is the point guard for Marquette? Now, I like that little left-handed point guard for Marquette. Is he back? Is he going to be? Because if they get going and he's back, that matchup against Florida in the second round, I think Marquette should be able to be fine.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And, you know, this time of year, coaches are always coy with information. You know, like, there was a big conspiracy on Selection Sunday because Bill Self had said their best player, Kevin McCullough, would be available. And I think a lot of people said, did he because Kevin McCullough is out for the tournament. And so the question was, did Bill Self really believe that, or was he saying it to impact seeding? Basically, because obviously the thought being, if they know your best player is not going to be available, they'll drop you down a seed line or two. I bring all that up because Shaka Smart has been very transparent that I think that he believes that kid will be ready to go. Now, what I will say, and Matt, you're the former high-level athlete, and I don't know if you ever had an oblique injury, but they say it's extremely painful, and they say it can be re-aggravated very quickly. So that's my only concern with that specific injury is, you know, it feels like the type of injury you twist the wrong way, you go up for a rebound, and somebody kind of hits you in a weird way. It feels like the type of injury that could be re-aggravated. But to directly answer your question, he is expected to be back, and if he is back, you know, I think Marquette has a chance to do some real special things. You know, they're so good defensively, but I do think they're missing a little bit of an offensive pop. You kind of saw that against UConn last Saturday, where they basically just ran out of gas. They couldn't go score for score with UConn. So having him back, I think, is a pretty crucial element if they're going to have success.
AT, we'll leave it there. But next week, we'll do some Sweet 16 talk. Appreciate you, man. Enjoy the game.
So we got to do some Hogs rotation talk. I've been seeing stuff on the internet still.
Yeah, we'll get into that again. We'll get into that sometime soon, no doubt. Aaron Torres.
Okay.
With us here
on
Friday.
I'm here for the spring.
I know you are. I know he is. He's a noted baseball guy. Usually once we get into about May. But yeah, the Arkansas pitching staff will be worth talking about later on in
halftime. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Hickey & Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Matt Jones is actually trending on Twitter right now. It's not you. It's not Matt who covers for Whole Hog. It's Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio. That'll happen after Kentucky gets a first round exit. And he's probably the first one people will go to hear about get rid of Cal. So maybe there'll be an opening in Kentucky at some point soon.
You know, is it time to get rid of Cal? Coach Cal didn't forget how to coach. I think the game's kind of catching up to him a little bit.
Putting the team together.
Yeah, what we were talking about, he doesn't get first pick of the litter anymore. You know, everybody else is kind of getting in. And then that rumor mill that's coming out, you know, with Coach Musk going to SMU, that's all about NIL money. That's all about they have money to go spend. Now, does Kentucky have just as much money as anybody to go spend for players?
I wanted to get into the SMU thing here because that is an opening right now. Do you see a reality where a big-name coach like an Eric Musselman and others that potentially would be looking to exit where they are go to SMU? I mean, I understand the idea that they've got all these donors, they're elevating themselves into the ACC, but the amount of attention that goes to SMU sports, not just basketball, but sports, is so far down on the list of things that sports fans in DFW care about. Never mind the state of Texas. Never mind the city of Dallas, where the school is located. That whole metroplex, SMU would be down to like 12th, maybe 14th on the list of things to care about. I think it's fear about nothing. I don't see it. Do you?
Well, it's a Baptist school. It's a private school. It's well funded. I know with you know, their football program that you know, every scholarship athlete gets a certain allotment of money. My whole thing is, okay, if you're talking about everything else besides NIL, no, 100% no. Why would you go to SMU? So that's the question: is how much more money does he get to play with? Because you want to be at Arkansas. I think that's. I mean, you look at the home crowd at Bud Walton. You're going to get that in SMU?
They average 5,700 fans a game at Moody Coliseum. Now, that's an arena that can sit 7,000, and they don't sell it out.
Yeah.
For the American Cup. Maybe they will for the ACC. I don't know. They'll get fired up about Duke. They'll get fired up about North Carolina. They'll get Clemson. They'll get Florida State for maybe a year or two. That's the other thing. That ACC, the ACC that SMU is joining now, is not the ACC that's going to be around in 2 years, which will include North Carolina. North Carolina is going to be out of that league. They'll be the third school that joins this series of lawsuits between the ACC and those two other schools, Clemson and Florida State. North Carolina is the last one left to create enough weight where the current formation of that league can collapse, and then you don't have the same league that SMU thought they were joining.
And then again, that goes back to my first point that I think I said a couple months ago. I would want to be in the AC. I mean, I'd want to be in the SEC or the Big Ten.
Well, I'd also want, yes.
I don't want to go to another conference but those two right now.
I'd also, and I'd have to say this is independent of the money that can be offered, because that's the thing I always hear about SMU. They're taking $0 from the ACC's television contract because they have all the money in the world from incredibly rich donors. So there's the money. There's no attention. None. You're the head coach at Arkansas. You are going to be one of the two or three most talked about people in the entire state about almost anything if you're the head men's basketball coach. Football, governor are the other people on that list. All right? The SMU head coach? No, it doesn't even make the top 150 in the state of Texas. And look, coaches want a coach where they're going to get resources. They've got good facilities. They've got money to spend. But I think there's a little bit of attention need that goes along with it, too. You don't get that same attention at SMU. You go ahead and take them to the Final Four, win a national championship, they'll throw roses at your feet. and you'll get more attention. You'll still be eighth or ninth on the list. At Arkansas, you're number one or you're number two.
That's true. Embrace the state. No question about it. I think we're going backwards when it comes to recruiting in this state, basketball and football. I think we're messing up and we're missing it pretty bad. So I hope these coaches that are up there, I hope they embrace the state.
So do you think if you're looking to take a job at SMU, you're looking at a rich hotbed of
plethora.
Talent that you've already recruited well. So then there's that. I mean, there's the two sides of this here.
Yeah, Texas. I mean, you think of the best player was Anthony Black. He's from Duncanville, Texas. They had last year. So, yeah, I mean, Texas is the amount of talent in that state in your backyard. I mean, Arkansas has to get your in-state guys. We have to go pluck six or seven guys off a Texas football field, or one guy here, one guy every other year off a Texas basketball court. No question about it. I think Memphis is another area we should be recruiting to as far as trying to be heavy in there. I know Anthony Hardaway in Memphis, and they got it going on, but there's so much talent in the Memphis area as well.
Well, back now on the Arkansas side of things, now with Blocker in the transfer portal, is Lawson Blake the only kid from Arkansas who's on the roster right now? So you're at a point where this has been a conversation we've had for a long time. You want some Arkansas kids. You want good players that are from Arkansas on this team. Devo was one of them, and he isn't any longer. I think Layden Blocker is a good basketball player. And there's a lot of room to grow, but in terms of energetic effort on defense, and I think the ability to defend, and that there, I think, was also something to work with offensively. But on the other hand, when you played as hard as he did, and I don't think he did anything wrong, but then falls out of the rotation when you cut the rotation down to eight and doesn't play at all for like the last month, maybe you have a little bit of the fear that the same thing can happen next year. Even if you get better, you don't know if you're going to play or not.
Well, and I think it's really harsh to judge these kids on their freshman year. That's you're not, 30 years ago, freshmen didn't even play, and then a lot of times you redshirt them. So these 17, 18 year old kids coming in this COVID year's happened. You just talked about it, Phil. There's such an age gap right now. I mean, there's some of these teams have kids that were in high school in 2017. And then, you think about Landon Blocker just graduated high school last year. So, I mean, there's so much room to grow. So just to judge him right now, he's not even close to the product. He's going to be so much better. And yes, I think he is an SEC quality basketball player.
And I don't watch the BYU game yesterday and think, oh, Jackson Robinson could have scored 25, in a tournament game for Arkansas. But you know what? Maybe he could have been a guy that could have added you 11 to 13 points and been a legit deep threat for you. Maybe so, but it took him 4 years to get there. It's not like he left Arkansas and automatically was just putting up 25 in the
100%,
tournament.
100%, yeah.
Same with Darian Ford. Ford had himself a nice seed. Desi Sills had a couple of nice years. Did nothing special, but he's a guy that might have been able to stick around and fit in as a piece. And that, to me, is what Blocker felt like.
He's a basketball player, and some of these kids too. You want to play, you want to contribute. That's another thing. So you can't blame him because he wasn't in the rotation there for a while. It's just the kids are going to grow. They're going to be better. With this whole NIL deal, if I was telling these kids, freshman kids, I'd be like, redshirt your first year. Take your NIL money and learn. But nobody wants to redshirt. It's like you got these couple years in America in this college landscape where you can make a lot of money. Try to last as long as you can and stay in there for 5 years.
Well, people have been telling college students that for a long time. Don't leave this. This is going to be the best time in your life. The pressure you think you feel now is not anything close to the pressure you're going to feel in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You're telling the athletes now to do the same thing. And even the two guys that we brought up in the first segment, Golkey from Oakland, Burns from North Carolina State, they both redshirted that first year. One of them at Division II, for crying out loud, at Hillsdale. He even redshirted at a Division II school, and now he's the talk of the town. Well, the talk of the country. He hit 10 three-pointers in a tournament game and beat the big blue gorilla.
He'll get an NIL deal. I mean, he'll get a Taco Bell commercial or something out of this.
Right.
I mean, like this. There was a kid last year that did. He maximized his earnings. Yeah,
and Burns. I mean, so Burns is also one of those guys. I'm not saying that this is a kid who's who shows this is what's wrong with college sports, because he transferred a couple of times. You know, wasn't going to work for him at Tennessee. He sits as a redshirt. So then you end up going to play Winthrop. You know, Winthrop is one of those schools that you see in the tournament every once in a while.
They're a basketball school,
right?
Yeah.
Big South, right? I think it's Big South. So he goes down there and starts playing. He's doing well. Get a chance to get back to big time Division I athletics then. And now he's got Matt Jones saying he should be a defensive lineman in the NFL, which maybe he should.
I don't know about a left tackle.
You were looking at tackle.
His feet. So I think of Jason Peters when I think about guys that
were. Is he going to need another 40 pounds?
Man, he's got to trim up. He's got to want to. He's got to have a little nasty in him if you're going to play football going against defensive ends. You think of Myles Garrett, you know, if you're soft, then they'll chew you up and spit you out.
I guess he didn't want to chew up the ice cream that was handed to him. He gave it to one of his teammates instead. Never heard of that before. I mean, I know BYU fans give opposing fans ice cream in the football stadium. But I didn't realize that CBS will hand a basketball player some ice cream after a game, too. It's usually a glass of milk to the winner of the Indy 500.
Or Jim Harbaugh.
Because nobody's got it any better than him. You can see how well you had it compared to everybody else after the first day of the round of 64 at our hitthatline.com bracket challenge. Looks like Zach Arns has the most points so far. He and Andy Hodges and the C-Unit are tied for first. Go ahead and celebrate being tied for first.
I haven't even looked. I'm not going to win.
Well, because you obviously know that
I'm not.
The first day is not what you're doing when it comes to celebrating. It's the last day.
Yeah.
That's at hitthatline.com. If your bracket is already torn up, we redo this whole thing again at the round of 16 and in the final four. That's at hitthatline.com. It's presented by On the Mark Sports Bar and Grill in Fayetteville, 810 Billiards and Bowling in Fort Smith, and Shelter Insurance Agent Chris Dooley.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
James Teague is on our McLarty Daniel hotline. He is a member of the Teague Law Firm. He is a former Arkansas pitcher. He joins Halftime every Friday, and we appreciate his time. Good afternoon, James. Happy Friday. Happy basketball tournament, and happy 1-0 Arkansas win.
Yeah, good afternoon, Phil. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing really good. I was only able to watch a little bit of last night's game. I was at the WBIT basketball game in Tulsa, but what I did watch was still pretty impressive. I saw Hagan Smith. I watched a little bit of Will McIntyre. I saw Gackle close it out. And are we just getting used to shutouts now? Is that what we do in baseball? Just shut them out every game?
Yeah, I think we're getting spoiled with just tons of strikeouts, fast games, and not a lot of runs. I was kind of intrigued by that Oakland game yesterday, so I was flipping back and forth. But I did catch most of the baseball game, and yeah, it was, you know, kind of more or less what we've been seeing from Hagan Smith and from the bullpen, you know, especially on Friday nights.
It looks like Hagan is using the splitter at least a little bit more getting into league play. And the thought of him, now his slider's been a wipeout pitch, maybe more impressive than the fastball. But when you add in this third pitch that he's throwing for strikes, it's not like he's featuring it, but it's there. And it's in the back of batters' minds. It just makes him that much tougher.
Oh, for sure. And I'm not even sure, is the splitter and the changeup the same pitch? Is that right?
That's right. That's what I mean. He's throwing the splitter as his changeup.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I saw it a couple times, even to righties, where he'll go fastball and then slider, and then he'll throw the changeup, and they'll kind of swing at it like, well, you know, what was that, more or less? And now their head's just spinning because they got to defend mid-90s from that arm slot. They got the wipeout slider potentially at the back foot or this splitter breaking away from you. And I think that they're being overwhelmed by not only just the stuff, but also the, you know, the selection of what am I going to get, because it's likely I can't hit any of the three.
It's an Auburn team that can hit. Like, I mean, they were averaging about 6.5 strikeouts per game until yesterday. And 17 strikeouts. Are people tired of us talking about strikeouts? Because that's the biggest feature. I think the biggest story right now in college baseball, outside of Georgia's Charlie Condon just hitting over 500 and mashing, is the Arkansas pitching staff. You know, they came into the season, the school record in strikeouts was 18. They've had three games of 20 or more, almost got to 18 again yesterday. And it's just ridiculous, the amount of bats that they miss. But James, it's the entire pitching staff. Now, that's the thing that stands out. When I think of this staff, I think of the phrase arms for days. It's not just Hagan. It's not just the guys you saw yesterday.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of what we were hoping for last year prior to the injuries, when you had, you know, kind of some studs in the bullpen, but also your starters, you know, hopefully coming to fruition in their junior year of being what you kind of thought they could be. Definitely seeing that with Hagan. We're seeing pieces of that with Tiger. And then McIntyre, you know, his breaking ball, to me, it has so much downward action. You know, it almost looks like a curveball that's 12-6, but you can see it out of the hand. It's got that bullet spin, more slider action, and that's a really, really tough pitch to hit, especially coming straight over the top when you've just now seen Hagan Smith come at you with a low elbow. I just think that combination for people is really difficult, because it's really two power breaking balls, two plus breaking balls, but from such different angles and arm slots, it's a really, really tough combination.
You know, and I feel like last night's game at Auburn just fits perfectly into what I remember from the few times I've been to Auburn for baseball. And you'll remember 2015 at Auburn, which to me, I don't know if I'd say that was a turning point of the season, but it certainly was when the team got hot. And it was like that. I remember a comeback. I remember Joe Serrano in the rubber game with a game-winning single up the middle, either the eighth or maybe the ninth inning. And like that was a series that sort of catapulted you guys to really getting hot and ending the season in Omaha.
Oh, yeah. And I remember watching Benintendi hit balls way over the, you know, the right field fence and back, you know, into that area over there on that field.
He kind of started really getting hot there. We had Joe picking up. We had some other guys contributing. And it's funny, I played pro ball with one of the guys who gave up all the home runs to Benny, and he just would go on and on about how he was the worst guy to face because it didn't matter what you threw, he saw it out of the hand. And Benny got real hot that season or that series, hit a couple home runs. And so he always gave us a hard time there. But, yeah, I mean, raw offense, I think maybe, you know, we're hopefully on the verge of a similar performance to kind of get going and kind of start helping out this pitching staff where we don't have to have one and two run shutouts. But, you know, that's kind of to be seen as of right now.
So it's not minor league clubhouses because you'd be at spring training now, but so many of your teammates that are around you in close quarters too, in those complex locker rooms, went to college with big time programs. You know, you got your team on TV. Sometimes they're playing each other. What is this kind of a fun time to be in a spring training clubhouse? Or just be around a bunch of ball players that have played in college and have, you know, and root for their basketball teams too?
Oh, yeah. I had roommates from Nebraska and Florida, a couple guys from Missouri. Jake Ring was one of my roommates in Missouri. He talked about how he just got railroaded by the fans out there in center when they came to play us that season. So it's fun. You play with a bunch of different guys. I was talking to a guy, one of my roommates from Florida, who had a conversation with Sully. And Sully was basically saying, look, I think you're terrible. I don't really want you back, but I wasn't able to recruit anyone to replace you, so you better have a good summer, and I'll see you in the fall. And, I mean, Sully, he's just ruthless over there at Florida. But just stuff like that, you kind of get the inside scoop on different programs that you wouldn't otherwise know about.
And it's got to be the same during the actual season. When it comes to the NCAA tournament and College World Series, then now you're talking, now it's these guys' sports, so they'd be a little more dialed in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So Brady Tigert supposed to get the ball today. Maybe it turns into a doubleheader tomorrow, but we'll find out. The thing about Tigert is sometimes he'll lose his fastball. I don't think he ever loses the curve, but sometimes he loses fastball command. And I wonder for you, when you lost, when you had those moments, you know, when you, it's not like you can go into the bullpen and work on it. You can't walk into the dugout and talk to a coach. You got to do it on your own. When you lost your fastball, what would you do to try to get it back in the middle of an inning?
So I had a couple different, you know, ticks that I would go to, you know, kind of mental cues, almost like swing thoughts to try to get back on track. It kind of depends on the miss, too. So if you have a consistent miss, like for me, if I was throwing a lot of balls away to a righty or in the dirt, my mental cue is my arm is moving faster than my body. I'm too sped up. You know, like my pregame bullpens, I would actually throw the ball to the belt because I knew that I was going to be sped up in the game, which meant I would miss low and I would miss away. Now, conversely, if you're missing it high and arm side and you're, you know, scaring guys off, righties off the plate, then the arm's behind it. You know, you got to break out of the glove a little sooner, and you got to, you know, get, you know, kind of reach to home plate more or less was kind of the thought. So I think for Tiger, he's, you know, when he gets off or if he starts getting wild, number one, is your miss consistent? And if it is, what's your cue to get back on track? And if the miss is inconsistent, well, then how do we iron it in to have a consistent miss to try to get, you know, have an idea of how to fix it? You know, if you're throwing one high at arm side, the next one outside, one high, one low, kind of tough to fix that because it's hard to know, you know, how you need to adjust.
All right, so last thing on baseball. I think this was Sunday before the last game of the Missouri series. During the last round of batting practice, I'm standing there with Bubba. I look over to the first base seats, and there's Dave Jorn standing in the first row talking with Matt Hobbs over the railing. Matt's on the warning track. And I don't know how often they've had conversations or how well they know each other, but, you know, they've both been very successful pitching coaches working for Dave Van Horn, of course, Norm as well in Dave's case, and he was your coach. But these are two pitching coaches that come from really different perspectives on I think, how they go about their jobs, but also go about it in a way that produces a lot of success both ways. And I would have liked to be a fly on the wall of that conversation. I don't know how well you know Matt. I know you know Coach Jorn really well. It would be a fun conversation to be in on.
Yeah, I don't know Matt as well, but yeah, Coach Jorn, you know, just old school, hard nosed. You know, you come in there and you get it done. You know, where maybe Matt is saying, yeah, we want to have that mental approach, but also here's the analytics, or here's the tools, and here are the other things we can do, you know, in addition to that. You know, I got a story from the fall. We were running 6-minute miles, and there was one guy who just couldn't make the mile, and he asked him, you know, why couldn't you make the mile? He just said, I don't know. I didn't sprint at the end. And he said, you're not mentally tough enough for this team. Pack your stuff. You're going to JUCO. I mean, and that's just the way, you know, that's just the way it was. Wow. And I think for people who kind of overcame that, well, you know, Friday night shows up and you got bases loaded. You better grit your teeth and bear down. And he knew that the guys who survived the fall were mentally tough enough to do so. So, yeah, it's just different approaches. Maybe one's not better than the other. But, yeah, I would imagine that conversation's pretty interesting.
Well, of course, you know, James Teague is with the Teague Law Firm, back for another year. They're the best of Northwest Arkansas. They can help with all sorts of family law matters, criminal law as well. They're a full-service law firm. They'll help with estate needs. And you talk to actual lawyers, you get their cell phone number. James is at 479-877-1688 or teague-law.com. James, tell me about something that's kind of nasty sometimes. Well, every time. Contested divorce.
Yeah, we've talked about the pleasant divorces, the pleasant stuff. But the reality is that sometimes you've got spouses who just hate each other. And when that's the case, I think it's really helpful to have an attorney who can, you know, kind of be in some ways emotionally uninvested and really focus on the facts, focus on the law, and try to find a resolution, you know, that's outside of, you know, the hatred between spouse A and spouse B. I think we do a good job with that. It's something we manage, you know, on a daily basis, just to, you know, streamline the process and, you know, take the emotions out of it and get the case resolved in a manner that is beneficial for the client. I think we do a really good job of that.
James, we'll talk more next week. It'll be the second game of the LSU series, so it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hope we can bring the heat for that LSU. You know, you always hate to lose to them more than anything in the world, so I'll be excited to chat about it.
That's James Teague, member of the Teague Law Firm and a former Arkansas pitcher. You can hear him here every Friday on Halftime.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.